Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Imagine what a church full of insincere people would be like. Imagine a church where people came together not because of faith, but because of expediency. Imagine a church where who the people really were was a stark contrast to their church persona. On the surface, everything might seem wonderful, but just below the surface, wonderful would not even come close to describing what would be seen. In life, we have grown accustomed to acts of insincerity. For instance, most of the pleasantries of social interaction are not based with sincerity, but in societal expectations. When we meet somebody and they respond with, "Nice to meet you," it could very well be a sincere statement, but many who say these words say them without any regard to the person they are meeting. Going into a business can lead to an interaction with staff, and how that person is on the job could be much different than how the person is in their private life. Some businesses seem to do a better job teaching staff how to interact with customers. Express thanks to the employee, and how they respond could be more related to what they have been taught by the company than who they are. When I thank an employee and hear a response like, "It's my pleasure," I know I'm getting a response that is thought to be the most effective when being thanked. But I also know enough about human nature to understand it may or may not be the employee's pleasure. When we think of people who are insincere, many will think of politicians. Promises made are not always kept. For those of us who are fans of reality television, we tend to see people who could be the poster child for insincerity. Most of those shows involve acts of insincerity and backstabbing. Because society expects insincerity, reality television breathes insincerity. Insincerity is all around us, and yet the faith we have been called to is a faith that requires sincerity. Within the Church of God, we must have truth, and we are to worship God with sincerity and truth. Worshiping God with sincerity and truth is not just an expectation of the Church of God. Serving God with sincerity and truth was an expectation from the very beginning. Let's go back in time to Joshua's last days. Having led Israel following the death of Moses, the people of Israel remained loyal to God, and before he died, Joshua gathered the tribes and elders together in Shechem, and it was there he reminded them of all that God had done for them. He recalled the calling of Abraham and how Abraham did what God said. He recounted what happened to Isaac and Jacob, and how the nation ended up in Egypt. Joshua reminded them of how God fought for them, defeating the Moabites and giving them the land that they now possessed. Joshua 24, verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto him Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do you eat. With the history of Israel, Joshua told the people to serve God with sincerity and truth, and to banish other gods that might have been worshipped in exile and other gods that other nations served. He reminded them of the choice between the God of Israel and the gods of these other nations, and begged them to choose the God of Israel. And the people avowed that they would serve the God of Israel, who had done so much for the nation. Joshua countered what the people were saying to see if they were really sure they would serve God. And again, the people affirmed they would serve the God of Israel, even when Joshua explained how God would punish them if they backed away from serving him. Verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God, he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Hezekiah, king of Judah, did what God expected. When the people of Joshua's time affirmed they would serve and obey God, hundreds of years later, Hezekiah was doing that. Being human, Hezekiah became very sick, and God told him through Isaiah the prophet that he would die. That prompted Hezekiah to pray to God, and in his prayer, he reminded God how he walked before him with a perfect heart and truth, and how he had done good in God's sight. And then Hezekiah cried. This act of contrition coupled with Hezekiah's walking before God in truth and a perfect heart and doing good, prompted God to add 15 more years to the life of Hezekiah. Isaiah 38, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. Jesus taught that serving God means doing the will of God, and that only those who do the will of God will enter the kingdom of God. And that involves worshiping God with sincerity and truth. Without truth, we cannot begin to serve God, because we would be without knowledge of what we must do. Without sincerity, we cannot serve God, because if we lack sincerity in what we do, we are serving just ourselves. Without sincerity, anything we do required of us by God would really just be to give us an advantage. And it wouldn't be, because without God the Father and Jesus Christ, we would be horribly lost as sinners with no hope of salvation. We worship God with sincerity and truth, recognizing the incredible sacrifice made by Jesus Christ when we were yet sinners. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs, or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Paul reminded Timothy that the faith we have is more than a collection of stories and genealogies, and that the faith we have cannot be phony. We know as we mature and grow in the faith, we will develop a deeper type of godly love and a clear conscience to go with it. We will not use the faith we have been given to go down spiritual rabbit holes, which does very little to bring us deeper into the faith. We will remain on message about the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and not use the rabbit holes of faith to sidetrack others from what is in the Bible. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. The Corinthians were reminded that many corrupt the word of God, and as Christians, that should be sobering. Many, not few, corrupt the word of God, and the many who have been corrupting the word of God have been doing that since the time of Christ. That is why we look to the Word of God, the Bible, and not man and man's traditions for truth. Worshiping God with sincerity and truth means we uphold the truth of the Bible. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Paul explained that it was godly sincerity and not worldly wisdom that helped bring about their understanding and learning of the faith. He showed how the Corinthians were not taught by him of any philosophy of man, but what could be found through God. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. For we write none other things unto you, that what you read or acknowledge, and I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end. As also you've acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. When Paul was reminding them of sin in their congregation and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, he explained how unleavened bread represented sincerity and truth, and that leavened bread represented that which is wicked and done with malice. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit and with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. With the Thessalonians, Paul explained that what truth is may not always be pleasing to people, because the truth of the Bible clearly shows what is sin. Paul never tried to use flattering words, but neither did he try to deceive them. When we worship God with sincerity and truth, it does not mean we focus on pleasing people or even sugarcoating the ugliness of sin, and we do what God expects of us even when others would prefer us not to. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses in God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Titus was reminded of the need to establish a pattern of good works. When James writes that faith without works is dead, this pattern of good works shows that faith is very much alive. Those good works include fighting sin in our own life and not surrendering to it, being serious about our calling, and being sincere, along with carefully using words so that we cannot be condemned. Carefully using words so that we cannot be condemned does not mean we skirt the truth, and it shows the need to be selective and deliberate in what we say. Titus 2, verse 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. The Ephesians were reminded to sincerely serve their masters as if they were serving Christ. So worshiping God with sincerity and truth also means we do our best with whatever we have been given, and we do that as if we are serving Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with them. They were also reminded that grace came to those who love Jesus Christ with sincerity. And we know from other verses that if we love Jesus Christ and God the Father, we do what is commanded of us. Ephesians 6, verse 21. But that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye may know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Going back to the Corinthians, Paul showed how they needed to prove the sincerity of their love, showing that this would never mean they would be burdened, but by using faith to build an equality among brethren so that all would be able to help others. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance may also be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. As we think about being sincere, it is mindful for us to remember the experience of Jeremiah, the prophet of God, who reminded us that we should never trust other people, and that our trust should remain solely and squarely with God. He explained that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Being human makes it a daily fight to worship God with sincerity and truth. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched place in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth outer roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. David wrote in the Psalms that we are blessed when we are without sin and when we have no evil intention. He was writing about people who could be described as worshiping God with sincerity and truth. He explained how people are not like animals, that we can seek God and look to God and through God we can rejoice. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Proverbs tells us the integrity of the upright guides them. If we worship God with sincerity and truth, we are guided by what is right, because we will do what God expects of us. Proverbs 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. In his first letter, John tells us that what we do is more important than what we say. He tells us to show love in what we do and in truth. Showing love in what we do and in truth is another way to tell us to be sincere in what we do. And we already know we are to worship God with sincerity and truth. 1 John 3, verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Peter tells us that the race set before us, our good fight of faith, should be sobering for us. We know God the Father and Jesus Christ are sober, and we are to be sober as well, understanding that as they are holy, we must live our life reflecting that holiness as well. We recognize we were not bought with anything cheap, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are obeying the truth and must have unfeigned love for the brethren, meaning the love we have for others must be genuine and sincere. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by God the gospel is preached unto you. Paul told the Philippians to approve what was excellent as their love, knowledge, and judgment grew. He explained that through the Holy Spirit they should be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, and that all this needs sincerity. There can be no phoniness or trickery when it comes to the faith we have. Who we are is who we must be at all times. The faith we have should lead us to preach love and not contention. Philippians 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and with offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. From so long ago, God expected sincerity and truth from his people. When Joshua was old, he reminded Israel of how kind God had been to them. He explained how God called Abraham, and that through all the struggles of Isaac and Jacob and the captivity in Egypt, how God still delivered on his promise to Abraham. Joshua challenged the people of Israel to remember all that God had done, to never forget, to never go back to worshiping the gods of other nations, and to serve God with sincerity and truth. We think of Hezekiah, who, because he walked with God with a pure heart and truth, had 15 years added to his life. God wasn't interested then, nor is he interested now, in people who want to benefit by name-dropping God, but who otherwise have no interest in God. If God and Jesus Christ are of importance to us, we will do what they expect of us, and we will do whatever is expected because God and Jesus Christ are who they are. And we know who they are, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us so that we could have eternal life. We know the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and so we look to God and Jesus Christ and not man as our source of approval. We seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, knowing that it is given to the righteous to direct their way, because for the righteous do what God expects of them, and that God can cause the wicked to come up short. As we do what God expects of us, and as we worship God with sincerity and truth, we also focus on love. We show love to God and Jesus Christ by doing what they command us, and we show love to others as a way to demonstrate the sincerity and truth of the faith we have. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.